Hello and welcome to the Think and Unwind podcast with me, Nathan James. Hello. Now, this might be the last episode I'm going to do for quite a bit. Why? Because, first of all, you fuckers aren't listening to it. No, I'm kidding. You are. But no, because it's November right now. And in November, I have a lot of college application shit I need to be worrying about. I got a lot of final school work because I'm on my final bimester. So I want to kind of be more concentrated on that. So it's not that I can't, per se, like, continue making the podcast episodes. I'm not that busy. But I feel like I won't have enough time to study all the things I want to study for the podcast. And so, if the quality of my podcast is already at a 4, I don't want it to go down to a 2. You know what I mean? Like, no thank you. So that's why I'm probably going to take a pause until maybe January. Also, it will help me, like, maybe, like, store up on some more topics, some, like, more information that I might gather. Hopefully, I could get, like, a guest by January. I can make some friends. And maybe somebody will be willing to join me on my podcast. I don't know. We'll see. I'd like to have a co-host. But sadly, that's probably far away. That might be only when I finally move back to the States where I can make some friend over there who might be willing to do this thing weekly. I feel like I can really make it work with a co-host, but I'm going to have to be very picky with it if I want it. I don't even know what I'm going to do. Maybe I'll fucking make just an other podcast, like completely destroy this one. Or, well, leave it. And have another one when I finally have my co-host. I don't know. I'm doing this for fun right now, but I'm not gonna say I don't want it to be like a successful thing. Of course I do. I'm very ambitious, so I'd really like to see shit do well. But at the same time, it is just a bit of fun. Now, so that aside, this also might be a shorter episode because I want to experiment and see if you guys prefer these shorter episodes rather than 50. I might do a poll later. I'm just doing my best to see what you guys are most interested in. And also, with 30 minutes, I can probably pack a lot more information. And if it goes past 30 minutes, it doesn't really matter that much, now does it? So, what I wanted to talk about is something that I've always had on my mind. I've always, especially recently, I don't know why I've had it recently, but I feel like it's something so important in the humans that people don't realize, and that is religion. You might say, what do you mean we don't realize? Like, 80% of the earth is fucking religious. Of course we realize. It's like, no we don't. Because what do atheists think? Atheists think that they have reached more reason, that they're incredibly more rational without a god, that the followers of religion are sheep, you know, that they're stupid, they're idiots for continuing to believe in such lies. That's what atheists, and I'm saying atheists, not agnostics, believe. Not agnostic atheist, that is, because agnostic would mean that you're not sure, and you can be an agnostic theist or an agnostic atheist, whatever, whatever, who the fuck cares, right? So, like, that's what they think. They think they're the peak of human reason. They can, and they've surpassed religion, and they don't need it. And that anybody who follows it just because they're ignorant of science. But that's not how it works, really. Because you gotta get into the psychology of religion. Religion is a safe haven, wouldn't you say? Why do people follow their gods? Why do people follow these rituals, these customs? Because I don't know if you've noticed, when there's no god, when there's no promise of an afterlife, death seems a lot scarier. Life seems a lot crueler because there's nobody to judge all the assholes of the earth. So that's why some people need God. Even if, hypothetically, we could say with 100% certainty that no God exists, some people would still need that God. They would still need it to exist. Also, sorry if you can hear some hammering or some shit. Like, what the fuck? I don't know why my neighbor's doing this shit, but whatever. But yeah, some people just need this God because they're psychologically and emotionally dependent on it. I mean, they're like... And not only is that, like, true, but also the way of how all these gods and mythology and stuff have arisen is because they needed something to also make everybody inferior to. Something to put down the strongest. Something to maybe, maybe, like, represent something they couldn't explain. You know, everybody knows that, you know, the sun god, the god of the sea. It's all because these are things they didn't understand, so they blame a god, right? A sentient for whatever happens. But it also shows you the way they would see certain attributes. For example, I got, like, a good example here. Also, if you want to, like, find out more about, like, God and psychology, I can recommend, Steven Peterson. Is that what the fuck his name is? Jordan Peterson? Oh, I don't know. Just look up Peterson, because that's his last name, and, The Idea of God, and he has, like, a whole biblical series where he goes through, like, the Bible. He isn't, like, Christian or anything, so don't worry about it. If you don't want to get caught into one of those religious studies, he's just going through the psychology of the importance that religion has had, specifically the Abrahamic Christian religion. But Marduk, right? Marduk was the god king of Babylon. He was the patron god, if you guys didn't know. And Marduk, he had a crown that was of eyes. And had a crown that was just made of eyes, you know? He could see all around him. He could speak magic words, and with that, he would defeat chaos. Now, he was chosen as god king by the other gods because he said that if he was, you know, if he was as powerful as a king, he could kill this kind of like water dragon, this weird dragon that was essentially just chaos. It was disordered, watery chaos. He said, I could kill it. So, they elect him god king. And he goes out and he destroys this chaos, and with the pieces, because he slashes up this dragon, and with the pieces he creates the world. So with that, you could say he builds order. Now, I don't know if you can see the underlying psychology, the underlying message that these guys are, you know, unconsciously showing. But this is a god king, right? That must mean that this is the personification of being a king, you know? You can have a sovereign, you know, that's what you call somebody who's an authority, who is pretty much like a massive authority and a king and a ruler, you know, a sovereign. But the god king would be the very idea of sovereignty. He would be exactly what you want from leadership, right? And, I mean, you can see it here, right? The crown of eyes. That means he can see everything fucking around him. Shit ain't getting past him. A true king should be able to see every little detail and not be caught by surprise. The best king would be able to speak magic words. I'm not talking about fucking Harry Potter shit, nah. We're talking about being able to be diplomatic, know how to make order out of chaos. You know, the third thing, he destroyed chaos and brought order. Bring order to chaos, specifically with also his words, how to speak to people, how to make change happen with his words. And there you go, you've got the god king Marduk. So you can see that it's what people are really doing is they're kind of making an abstract version of ideas, and then they're trying to make sense of it. They're trying to kind of make just this person. And I mean, they can't make sense of it because these are like ideas, they're abstract ideas. You can, when you think love, what do you think of? You can't. But they wanted to properly order love. They wanted to have a proper image of love. So they made a god of love, and they made some stories of love to show how love interacts with people, how love interacts with, like, society. And so even though, you know, sure, you might say, oh, that god doesn't exist or whatever, you're not seeing that actually it technically does. Because it's not that the person itself as the god of love exists, but rather the stories do kind of exist. Because they're what happened in life, they're what happened in real life, but just diluted, you know, they're kind of like especially extracted and made a story out of. I don't know if I can explain this better. Let's see. Just continuing on the god of love, right? Which I guess would be Cupid. And I don't remember if that's a Greek or that's Roman. But I don't remember which one Cupid, you know, the name Cupid is actually from. But same god, really. Say this god Cupid, what he does is he shoots two people with his arrows and they fall in love, right? And when they fall in love, they're uncontrollably in love. They lose their reason. They like feel, well, I mean, that's why they're kind of shocked, aren't they? Because it's something like a strike. It's sudden. It's spontaneous, and you just feel this need. You bleed out this love. And now, of course, we know that no Cupid is shooting us with arrows. It was a pretty good visual representation, right? As I said, it's spontaneous. It's something that just shoots you. You see somebody, and boom, it hits you. I fucking love them. Or maybe you don't just see them. Maybe you're just there with them for a good old while. You make good friends. And then one day you look at her really well. She looks at you. And boom. It hits you both. You love each other. You don't notice when it happened. It was like a silent attack. So it was a pretty good visual representation. Just as Marduk was a really good visual representation of what, you know, a sovereign should be. Sovereignty. Why can't I fucking... Wait, give me a second. Let me try to fucking pronounce this. Sovereignty. Sovereignty? Fuck, I'm just not gonna say it. But he's a perfect visual representation of the idea of a sovereign. Somebody who can see everything. How do you represent that? Somebody who can see everything? Eyes. Eyes. He can see everything through eyes. Oh, did you even know that God... The Christian God in the Bible. I don't know if you guys have ever looked up how angels actually look like according to biblical descriptions, but they're nothing at all like people have made them out to look. They're fucking insane. They're metal, you know? They are bad fucking ass. Some people say it's scary or creepy. I would be fucking in awe. Now that's a respectable fucking angel, not some fucking dude who comes in a cloak and has two white wings. Fuck that, they're insane. They've got three heads, they've got like fucking bodies of fire or some shit, it's fucking insane. But one of his angels, which I can't remember, I think it's Orophim, but I can't remember, it's like a type of angel. It's essentially just two rings, like attached perpendicularly, like one inside the other. To make kind of this this ball that could probably just go everywhere. It can move everywhere. But it's just two rings. And on these rings, they have eyes. Complete, like, they're just filled with eyes. I don't know about you, but that feels like to me that that also kind of represents the whole... He can move around everywhere, right? He's everywhere because he's versatile. These two rings can move in any direction. You know, when they work together. And he can see everything. It's a pretty good visual representation because, you know, language hadn't developed much in that time. Sure, there was poetry, there is this and that, but it didn't reach the abstract concepts that we have now. So, and one of the favorite things in ancient times was to make senses of everything with a reference to the real world. I mean, we still do a lot, don't we? We love using our metaphors because we want to better understand something using a real-life example. And that's what they did with religion. No, I'm not saying that all religion was written by some dude, but I do want you to notice, you know, there are some things that are clearly either influenced by humans or they influence humans. I mean, maybe, say, you know, let's say you are a believer in the Christian God and you don't want to believe that it's just some dude creating a visual representation of an idea, you know. You could just say that maybe God is creating these and showing you an idea through these visions. You know, you can just reverse it. Instead of saying some dude created this idea of two rings with eyes because he wanted to represent how God is omnipresent and like all-seeing, you can say that God showed it to some dude because he wanted to show him that he's omnipresent and all-seeing. Whatever. You know, I don't want to criticize any religion, but I do want people to kind of analyze their own beliefs, why they believe. Because can you truly say you believe if you only believe because you're ignorant? I don't know, but if I was God, right, I wouldn't put you at my top believers if you only, like, believed in me because you never had the fucking notion of doubting me. You never even had the idea of doubting me or, like, reflecting on my entire existence. But if you did, if you reflected on me, if you doubted me, if you did everything and you still believed, I'd be like, holy shit, this guy knows what's up. This guy, woof. Top of my fucking pyramid scheme, you know, boom, right up there. And then, but yeah, like, there, it's kind of like incredible, really. And because we've also got the Greek gods, right? And for the Greeks, the gods were assholes. I don't even know why they liked the gods. They were assholes, but ooh, I just got an idea, right? Because for the gods, we were their playthings, according to the Greeks. And, you know, as I just said, why would they want to believe in this god? Why would they create these gods for themselves who are just assholes? But this just reminded me that, you know, what are all the Greek gods? They're representations of daily things, you know, things we find in daily life. There's a god of love, there's a god of wrath, you know. I'm pretty sure Mars was the god of wrath. You got the god of kings, you got the god of electricity, the god of fucking hunting, the god of agriculture, the god of woman, the god of children. The god of woman and children was the same person, I'm pretty sure. Or am I confusing that with the Egyptian god? I don't know. They have a lot of abstract ideas. They have a god of darkness. They have two, actually. They have a god of time. They have, like, all these bunch of different types of gods that, like, they're different from the natural pantheist kind of things, you know, like in American, like a Native American culture, and I mean this in South America, Central, North, there was this pantheist kind of thing in which nature itself, they would personify nature, but no, that wasn't as simple for the Greeks. They had things that went beyond nature, and they seeped into human reason. And if you think about it, we are the playthings of all of these things, you know? We already said, like, love can hit you suddenly and all. And they make these stories about this god of love, how it manipulates us. But really, if you just take away the personification of God and just say love, you know, say, instead of, if you replace all the stories from saying Cupid to just love, they still make sense, don't they? If anything, they're more relatable. I mean, sure, you'd have to adapt a bit, because, of course, they'd make a story with a bit of, like, like character interaction and whatnot, but it still makes sense. You've got the god of wrath, you know, how wrath can take over you. When it takes over you, you don't think clearly. You're not the same as when you're sober. You're not the same when you're completely clear-headed. You think irrationally, and it consumes you. Why? Well, for them, what they said is they made a god of Mars. And this god of Mars is the one who's influencing you, who's grabbing you and doing things with you. I mean, we still do that to this day. We still personify these abstract ideas in literature so many times. You know, you say, I don't know what came over me. Oh, I just fell in love and I just couldn't see what was happening. You know, love is blind. Oh, it's like, yeah, something just came over me and I had to say it or I had to do it. I don't know, but no, nothing came over you. You're just trying to make sense of what happened to you, but nothing came over you. Nothing took control of you. You were you. You're the only person who did anything to your person and to anybody else, but you had to make sense of it because you couldn't wrap your head around why you would think that way. So you immediately put the blame on some kind of other thing. Which, I don't know, I find that very fun. I find that very cool. And the Greek gods, they would, what is this, move our destiny. We were subordinate to them. You know, I guess I already explained that unconsciously, right? Like, we're all victims of nature and emotion. Something I said the other day was that we're all victims of our own emotion, indiscriminately. You know, and we fall for things, we get angry, we fall in depression, we get happy, everything. And it changes our mood, it changes how we think, it changes what we do. We are all victims of nature because as much as we can try to alter it, the nature will always kind of prevail because it's fucking nature. You know, the Greeks didn't have the god of genetics, which I mean would have been cool, but they didn't have the god of genetics. I don't think. They had a god of medicine, but not genetics. But that's also nature. We're all victim to our genes. We're all victim to how our hormones like developed. We're victims to our mother, how our mother raised us, how our father raised us. We're victims to everything. So what they did was just make these gods and say that these gods are what playing with you. Because we can't make out the idea that nothing is playing with us. And it just is, right? You can't wrap your head around it. It's like, what you mean nothing is playing with me? What you mean these things aren't actually these other beings? Because it seems like it. It seems like the world is against me, or it seems that every single time I go to the beach or whatever, the waves are like too strong, I don't know. It seems like there is something against me, something I'm fighting with, something that's controlling me because I can't understand why things are happening the way they're happening. And honestly, if I'm going to give you my opinion, they're just happening. And that's it. Hell, I'm religious. You know, I've said it a lot of times. But even I don't believe that my God is manipulating every single fucking thing in the world to do something, which is what a lot of Christians believe, which also breaks down immediately, because that would also mean he is the God of chaos, he's the God of evil, he's the God who's doing every single thing to those African babies, he's the one who's trafficking children and shit. You know, it doesn't fucking work. That doesn't withstand, I'd say, if you want to continue believing in a good God. Let's just get past that a bit. I don't want to criticize God. I'm sorry if I don't enough. I'm not speaking about Islamic God. If I'm not talking about Hindu gods, I don't have much of an understanding of the Islam, like religion. So I don't want to speak anything about it. I have much more of an understanding of like Christianism, Catholicism, and Judaism because I was raised in a Christian household. And I understand a bit of Hinduism and Buddhism, but not enough to go really in depth of their psychology. So I'd like to avoid it. I do know kind of a bit enough about Greek gods, and I do find Mesopotamian gods interesting, but whatever. So, yeah, that's this segment of the whole thing that I wanted to talk about. It being this underlying, that these gods we created were just underlying representations of abstract ideas. And, you know, that's a good theory. You know, if you don't want to believe in a God, right? If you believe that there is no God, then this theory would explain why it is these gods existed in the first place for humans. Now, say you can attribute all of these different gods and religions to these, like, abstract ideas developing. You can like trace it all back and go like, oh, these are all interconnected, they're all just this lore being melded and coming together to make this organized religion. But you know, it used to be just all these oral traditions from different tribes coming together and like reforming. So you can get past all of that. Okay, good. Should religion not exist anymore? You know, let's say we have a world in which we can 100% say that God doesn't exist. Should religion continue to exist, or should we go out and tell everyone about this 100% truth about this hard evidence and try to eliminate any belief in God because it's fake, right? It would be fake if we have evidence. It's stupid. Well, it's not stupid. It's fake to believe in a God. I don't think we should. Religion has an incredible sway on humans, on how we think, because many people aren't able to take the idea of a nihilist existence. In other words, they can't take the idea that nothing has meaning, that there is no afterlife, that death is the final thing we experience, that hell, we don't even have a soul, that our people, our person, you know, everything that we are is just a combination of electrical shocks, of currents going through your brain, and that's it. That's all you are. We can't take that. That breaks people. Hell, I think it breaks everyone, but some people just learn to ignore it, to not think about it. You know, there are some people who can be atheists, but as long as they don't really think about what atheism really means in their life. Because the moment they start really thinking about it, it's when they start spiraling downwards. Because, honestly, there is no religion, there is no divine, there's nothing for you afterwards. This life is all you have, and it's this very life which is full of sex trafficking, drugs, wars, and torture. Then all we have is really pain. And even if you go like, oh no, but I've had a good life, what about the life of other people, you fucking bastard? What about, are you literally just thinking about yourself? What are you? Yeah, sure, maybe you have pretty good experiences. Maybe your life isn't pain, but there are some other people who their entire life has literally only been pain. And doesn't that hurt your mind? Now, some people, it does hurt their minds, and they do these, like, NGOs. NGOs? I don't remember if that's what it's called, but these organizations that are made to help, you know, these charities are made to help. But people need to find this hope, because say, helping, why would anybody help another person if it doesn't benefit them? In religion, it's because it does benefit them. You know, they get good boy points from any god that they believe in. So they do good acts. But without it, it just brings egoism and very, very selfish egoism. And you might say, oh no, but morals, you know, morals come up naturally. We create these bonds because we're social creatures. Yeah, that's a whole other debatable thing. I'm just telling you the evidence. I'm not actually like affirming that life has no meaning because of this or that or whatever, or that there are no morals and people will, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that there are people who do believe this. There are people who, when faced with atheism, when faced with a lack of future, with a lack of solid meaning, they spiral into these nihilistic thoughts, these egoist nihilist thoughts, and it just destroys them. So it's this lack of noble aims, you know, we need something to aim for. People have to aim for heaven. People have to aim for this beautiful world, and that the way to reach it is by being an insanely good person with everybody else, which is restraining your body's passions and movements so that you aren't just an animal living on a bodily, like, body, like, carnal, is that what they said? Carnal desires. It's so that you are able to reach this true heaven. In Buddhism, you're trying to reach nirvana through enlightenment. And in Buddhism, I'm not going to, because unlike Hinduism, which Hinduism is all about asceticism, I've never heard that pronounced, actually, in Hinduism, it's all about, you know, going super poor. I'm not even kidding, like, that's how, like, if you deprive yourself from all the worldly, like, desires and the good things, if you essentially almost starve yourself to death but just maintain on the absolute minimum, that's how you are, you know, reach better karma and better points and blah blah blah. But for Buddhism, it's not that, because what the Buddha did was that he actually went for this, like, whole super poor, normally starving, but he almost died. He almost died, and he took some bread from someone, and then he noticed that you couldn't go like the Western world, which is all about having the more and more and more in life, right? It's like the your life is better if you have more of things. That's what Westerners, you know, that's the underlying ideology behind Westerners normally. And he couldn't, but he also couldn't go with the whole having the absolute minimum to barely survive, because he thought that wasn't really healthy for your soul. So he found the medium, you know, he found the intermediate level here, which is not searching for the most, but not searching for the less, but searching for the absolute perfect middle ground. You know, we're just there. And with that, I honestly just lost my train of thought. I don't know what the fuck happened with my brain. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm fucking stupid right now. But when we're talking about noble aims, that brings, like, heaven, blah, blah, blah. And brings justice, why did I go on about Buddha? But, well, whatever. And like, in Buddhist, there are many things you gotta do to get, like, these karma. I believe there are around 7 kind of things, which are, like, general, very ideas, and they're very vague. Like, insanely vague. So there's a lot of philosophy in Buddhism, which is why they call it not a religion, but rather a philosophy, though. I don't agree with that. It is definitely a religion, even though they don't have an actual god, per se. It follows everything that is a religion, you know. So that's what I consider it, maybe an atheistic religion. But, And those guys, their noble aim isn't, for example, with the Westerners to just accumulate the most. It isn't as for the Hindus, who it is to exclude everything that isn't necessary in life. For them, it's kind of more of being a pretty good fucking person, honestly. It's understanding yourself, understanding others, helping others. Now, if you didn't have that, if you took that away, if you took away the Christians, their heaven, if you made them not fear sin, you know, evil things, because there is no hell, there's just crises. There's just crisis. Not only will you have all the people who are being restrained by religion, because religion can restrain you because via, like, indoctrination, which, indoctrination normally has a very negative connotation now, doesn't it? Like, people think, oh, indoctrination, wow. That's bad, you know, they're manipulating people's thoughts, but in reality, everybody's indoctrinated. Indoctrinating is essentially just programming your mind, and we're consistently being programmed by everything around us and by how people speak to you, and fuck it, me right now speaking to you, I'm programming you with new ideas and possibly kind of indoctrinating you a bit. But through indoctrination, these people who would normally be very psychopathic, they can have a moral code, you know? Because, sure, maybe they wouldn't normally, naturally care about other people. Maybe they have very little empathy. They have a bit of an antisocial disorder. But by having this God, this idea that a God exists, and that this God will punish you for being a dick, they won't do anything because they don't want to get punished. Even if they don't really care about the other person, they don't want to get punished because they think about themselves. And maybe they also want that whole heaven thing, so they go the extra mile to be, like, really good with God. It can happen. It can very much happen. And so, there you go, it restrains potential criminals, and you might be going, like, oh, well, we can do that with other things. Can you, though? That's another debate. Like, that's a whole other debate. How could you possibly incentivize somebody, like, as egoistic as that person, without the idea of a divine God who would... Because a divinity would be all-powerful and actually be able to do things to them, right? And it's all seen, so, you know, it can catch them always, as you could say. And then we've got the people who emotionally depend on the God, because not everybody is strong emotionally. Not everybody can sustain the idea of their life not having meaning. I already fucking said this. But I do want to, like, hit it back home. It's like, it just breaks them. They need something to, hold on to. They need something to motivate them to keep on going forward. They need, and need, you know? Maybe you don't. Maybe you as an individual don't need it. But you gotta think about other people. If you're so atheistic, if you're so, you know, rational and understanding that of the world and knowing that God doesn't exist and that we're humans and it's better for humans to not believe in God, then you've got to think about how you're going to fix the whole fucking existential dread that humans suffer consistently. Every single human has had existential dread at some point in their life. Even if it was just for a few fucking minutes, they've had it. They've questioned their existence. And you've got to give an answer. You've got to give something back. Now, existentialism is pretty good, but it doesn't hit home. It doesn't hit home. It really, like, I've had it, but it doesn't cure you. You know what I mean? It's just a distraction. You just keep distracting yourself. So even if we found out that God didn't exist, honestly, in my opinion, if I was some kind of ruler, if I was part of the world committee on how we rule the world, I would suggest still a religion, making some kind of religion that would promote all the ideals we want, all the morals we need in the society, and just propagate this new religion because it works. And you know, people believe in it, people follow it, it helps control society. And you might find this is a bit evil because we're taking away liberties, but we all believe in something, don't we? I mean, you yourself believe in some kind of moral code. Maybe that could be the whole fucking Kantian, what's it called? What was the whole thing about? Categorical imperatives. You can believe in those imperatives. You can believe in utilitarianism. You can believe in normative egoism or rational egoism, whatever. But you believe in it. You believe it's true, but you have nothing that actually says it's true because they're subjective ideas. They're nothing that can probably be evidence. They're nothing that can be proven. So you yourself believe in something that isn't real. You yourself, an atheist, I mean, some of you might be theists, but I'm speaking to the atheists here. You believe in something that isn't real just as much as somebody who believes in God. You just have taken away the person, the personality out of these ideas, but it's still there. It's still there. So you kind of see that some, you know, you gotta have some compassion here. Not everybody can take it, not everybody can think of a world without a God, not everybody can appreciate it. Especially those who have had worse lives than you. We need hope as a human race. We need something to cling on. And, you know, if God ever is proven to not exist, I don't think it should ever even be said. I think, if anything, that would just mean that we have free reign to create our own religion. A religion based on philosophy. You know, a lot of philosophical discussion on what would be best for society. And make it. And you might even think that's how all religions were made, just people coming up with shit to control the population. But really, that's a bit cynical, isn't it? That's a bit too cynical to think that they went through so much planning of a religion, of a Bible, which the Bible is incredibly complex. It references many different parts of the Bible 56,000 times, something that I don't think a group of people could come up with. You know, just out of the nowhere to control humans, it would be, if anything, excessive. It's very, very, it has to be a cultural thing, something they actually did believe, something they actually felt they needed. That's my opinion on it. I think that's it. I think that's all I have. I do want to say I had the idea of, like, some kind of story in my head. I don't know what I would do with this story, but of this dude. I want you to really think about it, which is this dude who, oh fuck, I don't want to say it that much, I don't want people stealing my story, but it would essentially put to question, what if some people actually believe in religion, or if they're just so afraid of life, or if they just hate life so much that they found themselves in need of it to prevent themselves from killing themselves, and that's something that happens, you know? That you delude yourself into religion to avoid, to distract, to maybe destroy these horrible ideas that haunt you. I don't know. Just put yourself, you know, think about it. Put your religion under the eyes of scrutiny and really look at it. Do you actually believe what you believe? I mean, I respect anybody's beliefs. I respect what you believe if you believe it, but only if you believe it. And do you honestly believe? Have you rethought about your religion? Have you thought about what some things might represent? How some things could be just the imaginations or the ideas of humans? Maybe a human seeing something and not knowing how to describe it. Maybe a human trying to exaggerate a story, maybe using metaphors, and it just got out of hand. Who knows? You're the one who knows. So look it up. I don't know. That's just my little coins. And with that, I'm going to say goodbye to you guys until like January or something. I hope you have a great final 2020 year. I'm also recording this just after a bit of like the US elections. I'm not going to say which candidate I like. I will say that I hated both. But I hated one more than the other, I can say. But at the end of the day, it's Congress that matters, right? So what the fuck? With that, I say goodbye to you guys. I hope you guys have enjoyed the podcast. I will be coming back next year. You can like the podcast if you can. Maybe 5 stars on Apple or wherever you're listening to it. That will help support it. It will help give me an idea of what you guys like. Leave me a review. Give me feedback. I want to make this better. So please tell me what the fuck is, you know, you like or you don't. So thanks. I really do appreciate everybody listening. I appreciate everything you guys have done. Bye-bye.